Elder Mark?
Good evening. Made sure that we locked the door so that people couldn't run away. I want to thank the worship team for just really bringing us into the Lord's presence. I want to have a little time tonight after I finish just to pray for the team in Columbia. And then after that, we'll have communion together. Tonight, we're going to look at a little bit of Joshua. And as I was putting it together, I'm like, I don't even know if I can do him justice, but I just finished Joshua in my own personal time. And so I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for a while. But we're just going to scratch the surface. So, but I think all of us can have something to take away from what we're going to talk about. When the children of Israel left Egypt, it's thought that Joshua was in his 30s or 40s. So when you think about that, like God hadn't put a call on him at that point, but he was not a youngster, that's for sure. And we see him in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. And this is when he's about 40, I think, is what I gathered from the people that I was looking at. And it says, "Now Amalek came and fought Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" And then we see him again in Exodus 24, 12 to 15. Says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.' So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, 'Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them.' Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountains." And then we see him again in Numbers 13, 16. And Joshua was being chosen to represent his tribe in the to go check out the promised land. And there's 12 guys that are sent into the promised land to check it out. And it says, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Now when they came back, if you remember the story, when they came back, Joshua and Caleb, yes, thank you, said, we can go do it, we can take them. The Lord's with us, we can take them. And they're like, no way. The other 10 said, there's no way, we're not doing it. There's giants in the land. So in Numbers 14, verses 6 to 10, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. I'm a person that does my mind pictures, and I'm thinking about this, and all these people are picking up stones to stone them, and then God's glory just shows up, and there's nothing they could do. And I think it's amazing that God does the same kind of thing for us. He's preparing Joshua for something greater. And so this part seems a little long, but it's bringing us to the point where Joshua is prepared to go into the promised land. So we look down and we see God's response to what they did in Numbers 14, 28 to 30. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to the entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and of the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. So that's their reward. All right, here you go. Take off for 40 years and walk through the wilderness. And all through these events, we can see that God's preparing Joshua to be the one who will lead his children into the promised land. And we can see that in the life that he lived, that he was following the Lord. Like, it was the Lord was his focus. And he was willing to do whatever God had for him. And then we come to the next part where it's, I call it taking the first step. Now we have to realize that if he's 30 to 40 when he comes out of Egypt, he's like 80, okay? And I don't know if when I hit 80, I'll be the person that God's gonna say, hey, take my children out of the land. But I just think about that, and it says in Joshua chapter 1, Moses, "My servant is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I had said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." This is amazing to me. I think he says the same thing to us, right? Like, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Yeah. Take that first step. And so many times we're timid about what we should do or what we should say, and I believe that God's right there saying, just take that first step. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. And I can think of times in my own life where I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do, but the Lord gave me what I needed. I remember when our son Nathan was born, and Lori and I were in the hospital, and they're saying, "Okay, you're ready to go home," and we're like, "No, we're not. We have no idea what we're doing." And if you've had a child, I mean, I'm sure you experienced some of the same kind of thing. But we all go through times when we're not sure what our next step is. And I think that the Spirit of God comes along beside of us and says, be strong and courageous. And I'm sure that our team in Columbia this week had to be strong and courageous. They're in a country where they don't really know the language, and they're working with people that they don't really know, and they have to be strong and courageous. And so that's something that we can pray for them, is that they would be strong and courageous. So it's an encouragement to all of us. And because God promised that he'd never leave us or forsake us, we can really take that step. So two things that we know about following Jesus so far is that, one, he prepares us for whatever he has for us. He doesn't just throw us out there and say, "Here, go do this." He prepares us. He prepared Joshua to be able to lead the people out of the land, or into the land. And then the second thing, that we can be strong and courageous because he's promised that he'll never leave us. And the next thing that I think a lot of us do, not because we want to, I think we just do it, is we compartmentalize our lives. Like, I'm this way at home, I'm this way at work, I'm this way at church. And we've got all these compartments that we're just different people in each one. And I don't think we're supposed to be that way. I just think that we are that way. I know for myself, if I'm watching a sporting event or if I get behind the wheel of a car, I'm a different person than I am most of the time. But we all do that. Right? And we have a tendency sometimes to swerve one way or another. And I want you to think about that for yourself. Or are you pretty consistent, even keeled? Have times when you, or are you a person who have time where you don't even recognize yourself? I think we're called to be even keeled. And in Joshua 1:7, he says, "Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." We're to follow Christ wherever we are. And I think God encourages us in the same way. And if we read in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're told, "Now then, you are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We're his ambassadors. And, you know, sometimes we might think, "Well, I'm not a very good ambassador." And the amazing thing is that God can even use the times that we mess up. But think about your own day. How often do you say to yourself, "I'm Christ's ambassador. I represent him wherever I am." It doesn't matter where you are, you're still his ambassador. And the thing that's amazing to me, because of God's grace, I don't think this is something that we beat ourselves up over. I don't think that's what he's calling us to do. I think it's something that we celebrate. I get to be Christ's ambassador. That's a pretty cool privilege, I think, for all of us. Then the next thing we can learn about is it's kind of funny to me, but it's amazing also how much our heart influences our mouth. You can tell a lot about a person and about what's going on in their lives by just listening. And Joshua in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, God gives him some good advice. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Keep it in your heart. Let God speak through you as his word flows out from you. When we're in God's word and meditating on it, what comes out of our mouths will be encouraging and edifying to each other. We're called to be an encouragement to each other. Unfortunately, the reality is, it's a lot easier to tear someone down than to build them up. And as some of you know, I work at a school, and I can't tell you the number of times in every day that I have to say to a student, "Just be kind. Just say something nice. You know, kids can be mean. They say some mean things to each other. But just be kind." And I think in the body of Christ, and I love this church because it just seems like people are very encouraging. And I've always had a lot of really encouraging things that people have said. But the reality is we live in a negative world. We really do. And the prince of this world knows that the end's near. And so I believe he's working overtime to point out flaws in people. But as followers of Jesus, I think it's important that we fight back and encourage each other. Now, we already know that none of us are perfect. And God knows that we're not perfect. But here's the awesome thing. He's perfecting us and preparing us for our heavenly home. So even though we're not perfect and we won't be perfect this side of heaven, he is perfecting us. So we're all a work in progress. And so we need to encourage each other that as we're a work in progress, that it's okay, things are going to happen, and I'm going to come alongside you and encourage you. But that was just something that really hit me, like, God's preparing me. I'm not perfect, but he's perfecting me and bringing me to that point. Now, I know that a lot of us spend our time working hard so that one day we'll be able to enjoy retirement. And I love it when I see retired people and they're just having a blast in life. But poor Joshua didn't really have retirement. In Joshua 13:1, it says, "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old, advanced in years, and there remains so much land yet to be possessed.'" So poor Joshua, he brought the people into the land, but he's old. And God says, "You still got a lot of work to do." But I love what he does in verse, he goes through and tells the different lands that still need to be conquered. And then he says in 6b, "Them I will drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." So isn't this is just God's character. Joshua, there's still a lot of work to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clean the land out so that the people can come in. Your job is to divvy it up. And God does that for us. He doesn't expect us to do the whole thing. In fact, anything that we do is just a pittance, really, because he does all the work. And I love that. And Joshua was old. In my book, he was old when he brought the people into the land of Israel. But now he's been there for a while. So around this time, they figure he's probably about 100 years old. So think about it, 100 years old, God comes to you and says, "Hey, we got a lot more work to do." I'm 68, and I'm like, but God gives him what he needs. God encourages him to divide the land, and that God is the one that will drive out the people. So although he still had things to do, God was taking the responsibility of making sure it happened. And I propose to you that as God's children, we're not allowed to retire from our responsibility to be an ambassador. I'm an ambassador of Christ till the day I die. We all are. So if somebody tells you that you're too old, you just say, I'm not too old to be an ambassador for Christ. That's what he's called me to do. And the thing that's amazing to me, you know, God instructed the disciples to go into all the world, and he instructs us to do that. And some of us might never leave Michigan. But the amazing thing is that you have influence over people that won't give me the time of day. And I have influence over people that won't give you the time of day. And I think that's God's plan to reach the world. We all have people that we can minister to that won't accept anything from someone else. And I just think it's amazing how God has worked that out. And he reminds us in Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He's with us. He's with us till the day we see him face to face. And I think that as we look at that, and we look at Joshua and how God worked through him, I think it should be an encouragement to all of us that God prepares us, encourages us to be strong and courageous, encourages us to be obedient to his word and to meditate on it and to speak it. And that he encourages us to continue on. Continue on. Don't give up. And encourage each other.